Well, will you open your Bibles with me to Titus again, and we're going to conclude the section that we've been going over the last few Sundays. Titus, we're in chapter 2, and this morning I'm going to cover verse 9 and verse 10. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9 to verse 10. Now let's pray together. It's a great joy, gracious Father, for us to be able now to sit under your word, to learn about what God says to us, to listen to how you want us to live in our world. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would open our hearts, open our minds, that we may clearly understand it, and grant us a will to put it into practice. And we ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, just for a moment, can I recap what we have seen? Perhaps if you're visiting us, it may help a little bit to see where we are going this morning. We are busy going through Titus, which is an incredibly relevant book for today. And in chapter 2, he has been teaching us of all that God requires for us as his children. So when you and I have come to the place where you've repented of your sin and you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as the Bible says, you have been born again, you become a brand new person. That's what happens. To become a Christian transforms your life. Not only are your sins forgiven, but your lifestyle changes. So Titus was to go to the older men in the church there, and he was to teach the older men as Christians that they were to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in the faith, in love, and in endurance. That's what he must teach the older men. And for those older brothers here this morning, I hope that you took that seriously. That we went home and said, Lord, this is not right in my life, but I want it to come right so that those are in my life. Then he taught the older women in the church. And he says they are to be reverent in the way they live, not slanderers, not addicted to much wine. Well, it's an interesting one that for an older lady, eh? But to train the younger ones. What a lovely picture it is. So here's the older woman living a godly lifestyle, growing in their knowledge of the word. They come and teach the young married woman in the church. Then he showed the young married woman who are married as to what they should do. They must love their husbands, love their children, be self-controlled, pure, busy at home, kind, subject to their husbands. See? And then he spoke to the younger men, how they must be self-controlled. In other words, from the Bible, he is clearly taught that's how you live at home. Those are the qualities that a Christian seeks to put into practice at home. Now, he moves out of the home to where you work. Now, you may be a postman, you may be a gardener, you may be a lawyer, you may be a teacher, maybe a secretary, or it doesn't matter where you are. This is how you work as a Christian. So we move out of the home and we move to the office, so to speak. And how does a Christian work? Teach. See what Titus is to do? He must teach. That's the responsibility. Teach the slaves. Now the principles that are laid down here for them are of relevance to everyone who is employed by someone else. Teach them to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted. And that's what we see this morning. I'm sure some of you have read of that interview which Ray Kroc gave to the New York Times. He was the founder of McDonald's hamburgers. And Ray Kroc said this towards the end of his life. He said, and I quote, "I speak of faith in McDonald's as if it were a religion. I believe in God, I believe in my family, and I believe in McDonald's. But when I go into the office, that order is reversed." That's not nice. I believe in God, I believe in my family, and I believe in McDonald's. But when I go into my work, that order is reversed. McDonald's becomes God. Yesterday, it just was amazing how it just tied in for me quite nicely. I was very grateful for the opportunity. I spoke for about 40 minutes on the telephone to someone who absolutely hates his work. He wakes up every morning and cannot in any way see any good in what he's doing. Hates his job, finds it incredibly boring, finds it terribly soul-destroying and can't wait to come home every day. Now, is that what God wants? That's what brings this passage right into the heart for us. Saying to a Christian, whatever your position, this will help you. This will show you how to make the most of the position which God has very kindly open for you. Well, let me take it through. There are five things today, which I hope you find helpful. Right, number one. When you go to work, whatever that may be, the Bible says, teach the slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. In other words, friends, we are to be submissive. If you're working for somebody else, whatever that position may be, the godly reaction, the godly attitude, the godly heartbeat of your life when you go and work is that I want to be submissive. Now this, of course, is not only mentioned in Titus, it's also mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6. And in Colossians 3 and verses 22 to 25, and it says this, obey your earthly masters with respect and with fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, do the will of God from your heart. Forgive me, friends, I couldn't find a better illustration. But I remember those times when you probably saw your sons or your husbands toddling off to do their army training. And I was sent to the 6th South African Infantry in Grahamstown. And it was only 9 months then. And I went there, and you know all that happened. But after our basics, we were given a shovel and taken by the officer commanding outside the base and told to make a road. You know what it's like. So what did we do? There's the sergeant major who was put in control, and we had about 10 of us there. Make a road from here to the pond over there. Yes, sir. Do you know what to do? Of course, sir. Any questions? No, sir. And we start digging. And the moment you got in those little jeeps, you remember those little jeeps? And you saw the dust, what happened? We had a rest. We had a rest until we saw the dust coming up again. And then we realized the sergeant major was coming, so you looked incredibly busy. And when their eye is on you, you're working. When he's gone, that's time for rest. That's what that verse is saying. I was wrong. My attitude was ungodly. I shouldn't have done that. You see, what it's saying for us as Christians is when you are working for somebody, the attitude you have is always one of submission. And it tells us in the Bible that we are to submit in everything. That's the word used. Now we understand that, not to say that everything will include being asked to do something that is against the Bible. Because then, as Peter tells us, we must obey God rather than men. But the principle is clear. If you're a Christian and you're working for anybody else, you go there and you are totally submissive to those in authority. In everything. In every area of your life. Number two. The second thing that's required of us is this. It says in verse 9, to try to please them. See the spirit and the attitude of a Christian? So we drift off there, which I tried to explain to this brother yesterday. Say, my friend, when you go there tomorrow, your attitude is going to be different. You're going to go there tomorrow and do all you can to try and please your manager. Now what that means, says John Benton, pleasing their master would mean, first of all, carrying out his instructions satisfactorily and doing your best for him. This obviously would mean exertion and hard work. So I was trying to share yesterday, when you go into the school or you're into the office or you doing your gardening services or you in the kitchen, it doesn't matter what you're doing, you go there with this attitude: I'm a Christian, I've given my life to Christ, I'm going to listen to what you say, and I'm going to do all I can to please you. And that means I show initiative, I work hard, I exert myself, I don't do the minimum that's required, I work hard. Why do you do that? I'm a Christian. Now, where do you find this today? And when I was going through this, I thought, sure, this is almost like from another world. There are huge problems in our own land over these areas. And it's wonderful to come to the pure word of God and to see what it says. See how different a Christian lifestyle is? You go and you say, I'm going to please my man. I'm going to please my principal. I'm going to please those in authority. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to try and find new things. I'm going to show initiative. I'm going to work hard. That's the second requirement that is laid down for us. So teach, he says in verse 9, teach them to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them. And here's number 3. Not to talk back to them. There's number 3. So now I must be careful. I'm not to be sulky. And I'm not to be surly. I'm not to come with my sarcastic comments. I'm not to talk back. That's what it says. Don't talk back to them. So the way you speak and the attitude that you and I seek to adopt is always to be a very godly one and a very, very positive one. Number 4. The fourth thing that is required of us, and not to steal from them. Now there's a word for today, isn't it? We know together that there's no quality of life more significant and personally rewarding than being trustworthy. And Paul here, through Titus, is teaching us against stealing. So when a Christian is at the office, there's no pilfering in any way whatsoever. And so, my friends, as you know more than I know, you can take a small, insignificant, irrelevant thing. Whether there's a pen that's on the desk that belongs to the company, it's not mine. Or going right up to millions that sometimes are defrauded in companies. From one extreme to the other. A Christian doesn't steal. If I'm due at my work at 8 o'clock, I'm there at 5 to 8. And I start at 8. Why? Because I don't want to steal time from the person who's paying me my salary. If I'm given lunch hour, I take that. And I take no more. If I'm to knock off at 5, that's when I knock off at 5. Not at opos 2. And I put it down. I don't steal. When I'm on the phone, if I'm given permission to use the phone to phone personal matters, then I will be very grateful. But if not, I will not use it. And so on and so on and so on. Because the Christian goes there and says, it's the small things, not just the big things. Don't take what is not yours. It's not yours. You're a Christian. Don't steal. The fifth and the final requirement that is laid down for us is to show that you can be fully, fully trusted. And there's a great thing that the Christian, those who love Christ, not just in word, but in their lifestyle and in their work ethic, are showing that they belong to Christ. They can be fully, fully trusted. And when you think of an illustration of that, probably the finest that we can find is that of Joseph in the Old Testament. You will remember that Joseph was put in charge of Potiphar's home. He was put in charge of Potiphar's money. He was put in charge of everything. In fact, it says in Genesis that he left, in Joseph's case, everything that he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not even concern himself with anything else. Except the food he ate. He worried about nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why not? He trusted Joseph. He trusted Joseph with everything. His home, his money, everything. With Joseph there, it was fine. And that's the way it should be. That you can trust the Christian 100%. We are absolutely trustworthy. Now, my brothers and sisters, we've seen how to live at home. Now he says, that's how to live at the office or wherever you work if you're a Christian. Now, someone may come to us and say, but that's a very, very high standard. Yes, it is. Why do we seek to do it? Point two. What's the purpose? Look at the end of verse 10. Here's the purpose. It says, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Now, you know, sorry, I perhaps say too often, but it's such a great, great joy to learn the Bible and to spend time. And when I was trying to prepare this for you, I looked up the little word there for attractive. And the Greek word that is used there for your interest is kosmia. Kosmia. He says, Christian, I want you so to live in your work in every area of your life so that the gospel is made kosmia. Now what do we get from kosmia? Cosmetics. That's where it comes from. That's the root, cosmetics. It means to adorn. So a lot of you use cosmetics this morning. Why? To make yourself more attractive. And you did a very good job. And it's wonderful to see it working. If you hadn't put on cosmio, things would be different. But you see, cosmio is helpful. So you look at the situation, you touch it up, and it works wonders. Now it's saying this. You go into the classroom. And you go into the office. And you go into the chambers. Or you go into the factory. And you go into the workshop. And there you live. And you submit to the boss. And you do everything you can to please him. And you show initiative. And you show hard work. Never will you ever take anything, however small or big. You're 100% trustworthy. You know what's going to happen? You are going to make the gospel of Jesus attractive. People are going to want to come to you and say, how do you do this? What makes you live like this? And then you're able to tell them about Christ and the real difference that has come into your life by becoming a Christian. They will be attracted to the gospel by the way you live. Not by what you say, but by the quality of your life. Now, my brothers and sisters, as we just wrap it up, it's good just for a few moments to just pause and to say, am I submissive and obedient to my employer? Would that be a mark of your life tomorrow morning? If I had to say to you, do you do all you can to please your employer, initiating new projects, not just clocking in and clocking out for your salary, not just doing what is the basic, but always looking for opportunities to do more? Are you trustworthy? Oh, please forgive me if I'm wrong. I say it not arrogantly. But maybe even someone here this morning. You've come into our beautiful building. And nobody knows. But you've been fiddling the money. I want to tell you, my friend, it must not only stop, but it's got to be put right. You're a Christian. Are you making Jesus, Cosmia, attractive to the people you work with? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage. We see so, so little of it around our world, and especially in our country. People want more, bigger salaries, more perks, but want to work less. There's so much dishonesty. We are continually hearing of fraud. Continually hearing of how theft has taken place on massive scales right across our land. Billions, we believe, are lost every year. And yet not only in the big things, Lord, in the small things. Won't you give to us here at Christ Church a soft conscience? That we are hardworking, honest, sincere, trustworthy people, so that what we believe about Jesus is attractive to the outside world. Oh, I pray that we'll hear in time of folks being attracted to the gospel just by the way we did our work. Please forgive us where we've been negative, where we've not done our best, where we've not shown initiative. Forgive us where we've always found fault and problems. But take us tomorrow, wherever we go, with a new desire to bring Christ into that part of my life. And so whether we are at home, whether we are young or old, whether we work or not, we long that every area of our lives will reflect Jesus. Won't you hear our prayer? Please grant us grace, because the standards are high, too high for us to do by ourselves, but we need you, Lord, to do it right. We pray too that you'll be with our children now as they come to the club later. Oh, we long for a lovely time for them. Please bless the visit up to Zambia next week. Oh God, may it be a great encouragement here to our church as we seek to lead people to Christ, to plant new churches, to teach right across Central Africa. Please help us. In Jesus' name, amen.